This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of contemporary dance, mind-bending theater, or cutting-edge music, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. An internationally acclaimed American contemporary dance company is celebrating a major milestone with a stop in the Crescent City. The New Orleans Ballet Association, NOPA, journeys back in time with Hubbard Street Dance Chicago in a special 40th anniversary program. Artistic director Glenn Edgerton joins us by phone. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
40 years. What goes through your mind when you reach this milestone?
I feel like the company is better than ever. We have had a long history of incredible dance through the decades, and yeah, I'm very excited to be coming to New Orleans to show what we do.
Take us back in time, Glenn. The company dates back to 1978. How did it all start?
It started with board dancers. Lou Conti, our founder, was teaching class to these dancers, and someone has said they needed a program for community centers and the park district and senior citizen homes. So Lou made up a dance for these four dancers to go out and put on a small little performance. And he just instilled something so exuberant and wonderful in their expression in the work, and it took off. People really enjoyed it, and it came to a point where Barbara Cohen, who was in the Park District at that moment, decided to make it into a company, and Lou wasn't really feeling like he wanted to have a company, but he's like, all right, I'll do this, and it was all very organic how it started. And they were rehearsing in the studio, and he looked out the window, and there's a prominent street here in Chicago called Hubbard Street. That's where the studios were located at the time. So he decided to call it Hubbard Street Dance Chicago. And it has taken off since then.
When did you come on as artistic director?
I started in 2009. I grew up in Texas. I had my dance training in a small town in Texas, so I know New Orleans fairly well. I went off to New York when the Joffrey Ballet was based in New York. I was dancing in the Joffrey. And then I left in 1989, a year after Robert Joffrey passed away, to join the Netherlands Dance Theater. And 5 years after dancing in the Netherlands Dance Theater, I became the artistic director of the main company of the Netherlands Dance Theater One. And came back to the U.S., had a short stint at the Colburn School of Performing Arts in Los Angeles, and then was called out to Chicago to start working with Hubbard Street. And eventually I got the job as artistic director.
And how now will you celebrate the 40-year history of the dance company? How will this journey unfold?
We have an overview of several works. Jordi Tancat is a piece by a Spanish-born choreographer. His name is Nacho Duato. And that is representing the first European work that was ever brought into the repertory of Hubbard Street. It had always been American choreographers. Jordi Tancat means enclosed garden in Spanish. And then we have a piece called A Picture You Falling, which is a duet from Crystal Pite. And Crystal Pite is one of the great choreographers of the moment. She comes from Vancouver, Canada. Everybody is crazy about Crystal Pite's choreographies. There are two other pieces on the program that are representing our resident choreographer. One is called Out of Your Mind, which we just premiered this last week. That work has text in it, global ideas from philosopher Alan Watts. We have another fun piece called Paco, Pepe, Pluto. That is based on three solos, and Alejandro Cerruto, our resident choreographer, named each solo and gave them a character. One is Paco, one is Pepe, one is Pluto. So he put the names together and called it Paco, Pepe, Pluto. If you can say that fast three times, then that's good. And then the last work is in the 40s from Lou Conti. And that's the company's signature work that was all the way back from 1978. The 40s is representative of a time that Lou remembers in his childhood that was just a sense of exuberance. You know, the D-Day of the war being over, the feeling of hope and excitement for the future, the feel of his youth when the event happened. That's what he's depicted in this work.
What sets this dance company apart from other contemporary dance companies?
Our dancers. We have 16 dancers who are really devoted to what they're doing. When you're in the performance, you will get a sense of the dancers' energy, but their commitment to the work is really quite palpable, I would say. They're all classically trained, but we take movements beyond the classical form, and it gets very physically minded to the point you don't even believe that they're able to do what they're doing. The sheer enormity of movement and energy and the choreography demands extreme physicality.
As you celebrate your 40th anniversary, what is your hope for the future of the company?
If you come to Chicago, I want Hubbard Street to be considered the thing to do.
Artistic Director Glenn Edgerton, thanks so much and enjoy New Orleans.
Thank you, we will.
The New Orleans Ballet Association presents Hubbard Street Dance Chicago. One performance only, Saturday, April 7th at 8 p.m. at the Mahalia Jackson Theater of the Performing Arts. Over in City Park, that radical dinner playhouse on wheels, known as Taco Truck Theater, is kicking off a national tour with a stop at the New Orleans Museum of Art this weekend. The street theater project, presented by award-winning performance artist Jose Torres Tama and Arte Futero Productions, is back with new works tackling immigration and other issues affecting the Latino community. Jose Torres Tama is here. Welcome.
Hey, Diana, I'm so happy to see you again.
You have been described by some as a lightning rod, tackling hard-hitting issues through the power of theater. What's new as you embark upon a national tour?
We have a new ensemble member, Cristina Maria Blanco. She's Puerto Rican and Cuban, and she's dealing with the recent abandonment of Puerto Rico through this administration. And she parallels that with New Orleans abandonment during the administration back then under Bush. In addition, we're also dealing with the systematic erasure of our people's history that's happening during the tricentennial. We are being left out of this big celebration. And as many people know, immigrants, undocumented immigrants here, have contributed tremendously to the rebirth and resurrection of this city post-Katrina. The ensemble deals with looking at the United States of amnesia, a system that seduces you to embrace forgetting. And it is the job of the artist to remember.
How is your theater project being received by audiences today?
Within the ensemble, we perform really beautiful pieces and moving stories that really look at that parallel dehumanization of immigrants demonized as illegal aliens, because no human being is illegal. And we offer a parallel to the same way that historically African Americans in this country have been dehumanized, because we address the shootings, the continuous police shootings of unarmed black people. We have a black and brown coalition, Spirit McIntyre, on cello, poet, performer, who addresses these issues. We also have El Andino Mexicano. We have Roberto Carrillo, who plays panpipes, charango, and other indigenous instruments, because the show is driven by music. So we use music as a seductive measure. And it's also very funny, right? You have a character like El Pachuco, who's like, orale, you know what really worries me in this country when you hear politicians say, let's take America back. And I'm like, how far back do you want to go? 1950 was not a good time for anyone, not even a good time to be a white woman back then. Not a good time to be gay in 1950. So there's humorous perspectives. In addition, we have an intergenerational ensemble. My boys, Darius and Diego Torres Copeland, perform.
What was the inspiration for this outdoor stage on wheels where you are feeding both body and soul with food for thought?
I was inspired by the work of Luis Valdez in Teatro Campesino back in the 60s and 70s when there were no Chicano theater centers, when there were no real venues offering any platforms at all for the presentation of Latino stories. Luis Valdez founded Teatro Campesino, and they were very much like the Free Southern Theater. They were the theatrical arm of the Cesar Chavez movement to be able to present the stories, the really troubling stories of migrant farm workers and the health issues and the labor exploitation. Now here we are, you know, close to 50 years later, and I'm doing this project because we're challenging the anti-immigrant hysteria that is just gripping the United States of amnesia like some sort of plague. This idea of America first. And we forget that it's the hemispheric Americas. I mean, I was born in South America, raised in North America. I'm more American than most people. This idea, this blind nationalism is really scary. That's what I think we challenge. And so we're also exploring the way that people are erased. And quite honestly, the tricentennial has been very disturbing. Back in the day when we were beginning the show last year, I said, so what is it that the tricentennial is celebrating? Are we continuing to frame near genocide and extermination of Native people as a big party and celebration as European discovery? Are we going to invite the ghost of the Tunica tribes, the Atacapa, the Chitimacha, all of the tribal nations who were eradicated, whose blood filled the Mississippi? Are they going to get an invitation to the tricentennial celebration? You know, I often like to disturb the party. That's why they call me a Señor Boca Mucho Grande, right?
And what does that translate to?
That means Mr. Big Mouth, right? It's the artist's job to bring the truth, and we want to interject humor. As you know, our motto is no guacamole for immigrant haters. And we'll have the shirts available there. And we have tacos. We have food. Different vendors. We have La Cocinitas, La Cubana, Cuban and tacos by the Casa Borrega food truck. We're trying to create a radical outdoor dinner theater to feed your mind and feed your soul and engage you in exploring the real truths about what's happening right now.
What is the dialogue you hope to start with audiences?
Well, I'm trying to raise a dialogue of awareness because we're so engaged in the economical struggle that we're forgetting our sense of humanity. If I sound like I'm passionate about things, it's because I am. We have to speak the people's truth.
And these truths you get from a series of interviews that you have been doing with Taco Truck Theater?
I, at this point, have about 100 interviews of immigrants, many of them day laborers here, also immigrants from the cities of Tulsa, Houston, Washington, D.C., in Minneapolis as well. So we perform some of those stories, and the show ends with two of the most traumatic stories from these interviews.
You're doing this on the lawn in front of the Bestoff Sculpture Garden at NoMA. How did you make the connection with the New Orleans Museum of Art?
It's being aligned with the exhibit of Carlos Rolon, a Puerto Rican gentleman whose work is being presented that deals with the migration issue as well. So they reached out to me, and I'm really grateful. It's going to be performed out there in the meadows across from the Bestoff Sculpture Garden. We're going to have chairs, and people can bring their blankets. It's going to be quite an event.
Award-winning performance artist Jose Torres-Tama, thanks for stopping by.
Gracias. Thank you, Diane.
The Taco Truck Theater rolls this weekend with a stop at the New Orleans Museum of Art in front of the Bestoff Sculpture Garden. Performances are Friday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. Food services begin 1 hour before each show. This is a ticketed event. More info online at tacotrucktheater.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The acclaimed Talia Ensemble is in New Orleans. The New York-based group is exploring new music in partnership with UNO and Tulane University. Joining me to talk about this musical residency that will premiere works by students and faculty is UNO Assistant Music Professor Yotam Hopper. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Diane. Thanks for having me.
This is exciting news. Tell me, how did the residency come about?
Talia Ensemble is really one of the big stars in the contemporary music world. The New York Times called them a crucial part of the New York cultural ecosphere, and they are comprised of about 20 musicians. We're lucky enough to have about 8 coming here this week. They've played at Carnegie Hall, at Lincoln Center in Darmstadt, in Wien Modern in Chicago, in Vancouver. I mean, there's so many places. It's easier to name where they haven't played. We're very lucky to have them. Every year they do a few of these university-type residences. This is a collaboration between UNO, Tulane, and also the Niente Forte Festival, founded by Mendel Lee, a professor at Tulane, with additional funding from Newcomb Departments of Music and the College Institute. It's a big undertaking.
What does the name Talia mean?
Talia has several different connotations. The first one, as far as I know, it refers to this Renaissance technique of rhythm. Talia and color, for those of you who took undergraduate theory, may remember that it refers to a Renaissance way of dealing with melody and rhythm, which then became reused in the 20th century by Messiaen. So there's this looking back to the Renaissance and looking forward to the present day in the name of this ensemble.
Let's talk about their sound.
They take on repertoire both simple and extremely thorny and complex, but they will never appear on stage unless they have simply perfected it. It's sort of like a gleaming crystal of music when they're playing. It's a really astonishing ensemble, and they're playing some music from their own repertoire, so we get a chance to see the direction that they're leading in. You'll hear a piece by James Dillon, Wang Lu, and Suzanne Farron, three composers of various ages, some very young, some already quite established, that we can get an idea of the compositional voices that they believe in, which is not really one trajectory, but a myriad of voices.
What is the theme of their residency here in New Orleans? What are they doing with the students?
Well, what I proposed to Maxwell Dulaney and Mendel Lee at Tulane was, let's have an opera lab this year, which is kind of coexisting with my own compositional interests as I'm writing my first opera. And let's have the students team up with students in the creative writing department, in the poetry, in English, and have them write a libretto, which then our students will write music to. So we have several students who are writing new opera scenes, and it's very exciting to kind of delve into opera in this really kind of micro way. So some of the scenes will last for 5 minutes, some will last for 10 minutes. You get to go inside of this new world, a new operatic universe, and then you're out before you know it.
What are some of the subjects being explored in some of those works?
It really runs the gamut. I'll read to you the titles of some of the operas. One is Princess Zosa and the Cup of Tears. A UNO composer named Kenneth Collins has teamed up with a student, Greta Hare, to write a story about a fantastical land with fairy godmothers and coffee cups and very strange relationships between the two. Another piece by Anna Walton at Tulane is called The Basket of Figs, and that explores the use of wind instruments as an extension of the human voice. Another work by Stephen Montalvo at Tulane is called Interview One. It's a collaboration between the poet Derby Belser and the composer, and highlights stories about sexual assault survivors. Dylan Hunter at Tulane wrote Machines of Loving Grace. It's his first attempt at opera, and it's based on the poem All Watched Over by Machines of Loving Grace by Richard Brautigan. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek machine meets man poem that he's set. Maxwell Dulaney at Tulane, professor of composition there, is going to present the second scene from his opera in progress. It's called Already Root. It's an opera about the Orpheus and Eurydice story, really from the perspective of Eurydice. It's a beautiful perspective that he is exploring with Lauren Slaughter at UAB. She's written the libretto. And I am presenting a scene from my opera in progress, which is called The Voice Imitator. The scene is called In Rome. It's about the life and work of the Austrian writer Thomas Bernhard, one of the strangest and most acclaimed writers of the 20th century in Austria. This scene explores one of his passions, his home country, Austria. It's really all levels of emotion, all levels of seriousness and humor that are going to be explored.
You have three separate performances by Talia?
That's right. The first concert will be at UNO's Recital Hall Tuesday at 7:30. That will be music by student composers from Tulane and UNO. So you'll get a chance to hear some of those opera scenes I was talking about. On Wednesday night, you'll hear music for solo viola, some very extraordinary works by violist Alfonso Noriega. And on Thursday night, you'll hear music by faculty from UNO, Tulane, and music from Talia's own repertoire.
What do you think will be remembered most from this musical journey?
I'm very excited to showcase music by our own students, but also, and I think more importantly, for our students to engage, sometimes for the first time, with performers of really the highest caliber that take on student work with complete seriousness, engaging with it as though it were any repertoire that they were playing. I think it's really important for those budding composers to see what that professional relationship is.
It sounds like an incredible opportunity.
We're very excited about it.
UNO Assistant Music Professor, Yotam Hopper, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
The Talia Ensemble will perform Tuesday, April 3rd at the UNO Performing Arts Center, Wednesday, April 4th and Thursday, April 5th at Tulane University in Dixon Hall. Performances begin at 7:30 p.m. The concerts are free and open to the public. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.